We are in section 48 of the Doctrine and Covenants today, and I wanted to start with this memory that came back to me as I was reading this section. There was a point in time that my husband served in a bishopric with some really incredible men. It was such a phenomenal opportunity for us and just taught him so much about love and service and just listening and gleaning from these incredible men that he got the privilege to be with and serve with. And they grew to be just really, really cherished friends. And the bishop was just one of our best friends. And so one day we were sitting there eating, and we knew he was a prankster, and he and his wife just loved April Fools, but they kind of did that year round. And conference was coming. April Fools is a huge holiday for them. Conference was coming, and he and his brother-in-law, so his wife and his wife's sister's husband, so he and his brother-in-law get together, and they cook up this awesome plan. And they are just so excited. And they tell their wives that there has been an announcement and that they're going to make a huge announcement in priesthood session. And so they tell them that they've heard this, that something big is coming, and they're so excited to listen to priesthood session. So their wives, and this was like a good 10 years ago, their wives are so excited. So they make a plan that they're going to meet up like they always do after priesthood and have dinner with their wives. And he and his brother-in-law just rehearse this, and they've got it to the detail. They have scriptures. They have this all planned so that when they come to dinner, they can tell their wives that the big announcement is that the church has reinstituted this united order. And they are just giddy excited to do this. And so they come to dinner, and their wives are sitting there, and they walk in, and they start just, I mean, immediately they're like, so what is it? And they're like, oh my gosh, you guys didn't hear? So this is what happened. The prophet told us. And they start listing scriptures, and they start giving details. And he said, we are just, you know, serious, and we've rehearsed this, and we're so excited. And then he said, my wife immediately said, okay, I'm in. And he said, both of them just teared up and said, that is awesome. I'm so excited that we're at a point in our church's history when the Lord would reinstitute that. That's great. Yes, absolutely. And he said, one of the things he said is they've asked us to allow two or three other families to have each home have at least two or three families. So we need to have two families move into our house. And she said, great. There was no, well, who? And how's that going to work? And how much is that going to cost us? I mean, none of that. And as he told us that, he totally started to cry. And he said, it was me who sat and thought, you have got to be kidding. This is the woman I married, and I knew it, and my husband knew it. I mean, they both are phenomenal, but it was such an incredible, touching thing to me. And I just thought, what would I say? What would I do? And it was just moving. And so I love that that came back to mind as I was reading this, because here are these early members of the church who have sacrificed so much and are asked to move. And so they gather to Ohio, and then they'll be asked to move again, and they'll be asked to move again. And we know their history. So as we read this, it's just almost like, oh, they're going to be asked again. Oh, they've given everything, and yet they're told to give to the poor. Oh my gosh, they're being asked again. And it is amazing, the example to us. And as we know, and we covenant in the temple that we will give all and nothing will come in front of the Lord, what an amazing example these early members of the church were. And what I love is not all of them were perfect. Not all of them willingly went along. Not all of them didn't murmur. Not all of them said, yep, you can have whatever you want from me. In fact, very few did. And it's nice because I go, okay, it is line upon line, and the Lord is still working with me and refining me and helping to teach me. Are you kidding me, Aaron? You could do a little more. And it's just such an awesome thing. Okay, so the first verse says it's necessary at the time that you stay in your places of abode that are suitable for your circumstance. And then in verse 2, and inasmuch as you have lands, you shall impart to the eastern brethren, which means you got to share. You got to give your lands and let them build on there or live on there with you. That's pretty incredible. Verse 3, and inasmuch as you have not lands, let them buy. So give them your money so they can buy in regions round about as seemeth them good. For it must needs be necessary that they have places to live for the present time. Holy cow. You don't know them, but they're members of church like you. They've left their home. They've left their families. They've left their jobs. Give. And it's astounding to me. Verse 4. It must needs be necessary that you save all the money you can. Okay, besides giving to them, now I want you to save. That you obtain all that you can in righteousness, that in time you may be enabled to purchase land for an inheritance, even the city. So this is very much like us today. It's easy to look at that and think, man, we've not been required to do anything like they have. And I would say a big amen to that. But we have been asked to get out of debt. We have been asked to live our lives in such a way that when the time comes, we can give, to have a food storage, to do all that we can, that the Lord can use us and we can be wise stewards of what he's blessed us with to bless other people. And so it's just amazing. In verse 5, the place is not yet revealed, but after your brethren come from the east, there will be certain men appointed. And then in verse 6, and they shall be appointed to purchase lands and to make a commencement and lay the foundation of the city. Okay. It's just amazing what they're being asked to do. And like I said, we know that this is not their resting place. And the church handbook, Institute handbook, says the exact location of this city had not been revealed at this point in the history of the church. So they could think, you know, Zion's here, it's Ohio. But 3 months after this section, in section 57, so 3 months after 48 was given, the Lord indicated Missouri was the place for gathering. And so they will gather to Independence. And we know that won't be the last place that they gather. And so truly, the lesson here is to kind of, for me, analyze my finances and what we're doing with our finances and what kind of stewards we're being with what the Lord has given us. Where are we? Are we trying to collect and save all that we can to be in a position to help other people and to be called upon by the Lord? If he were to ask us, you know, to reinstitute this United Order, could we do it? And would we be willing to? Or are our hearts so much on the things of the world? And it's just an amazing thing, the example these people have set for us. We really are required so little. And I just love that. So grateful. I hope you know the church is true. And more than that, I hope you know how much our Savior loves you.